Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You. Today, it is my privilege to have a very, very accomplished entrepreneur, Mr. C.K. Ranganathan, with me. Ranga, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Astor.
Mr. Ranganathan is the founder of Cavin Care. He's also the founder of Cavin Care Ability Awards for the Differently Abled. He also does a set of awards which are called the Chinni Krishnan Innovation Awards for small entrepreneurs. And he has recently launched Unisex Salons. In addition to that, Ranga and I are both members of the YPO. Ranga, tell me a little bit about your early career, early life.
I hail from a small coastal town called Kadalur near Pondicherry. My father was a teacher, a math teacher. My mother was a school administrator. Mm-hmm. And I was born with five more siblings. Mm-hmm. We had six issues to our parents. So I grew up in an agriculture land, big agriculture land. In that, we grew up kind of this thing. And one of the things that I very vividly remember is the kind of distraction that the agriculture land provided, right from fishing to swimming, all these things. Mm-hmm. In a well, all these things are my biggest digression. Therefore, little did I focus in studies.
Okay.
I was very weak, academically very weak. And also studied in Tamil medium and all these things when my siblings were studied in English medium and all these things. I think that I grew up with a lot of inferiority complex. Mm-hmm. So okay. I was given special tuition in the evening to coach up right from childhood.
Okay.
So that's the way I grew up. And I also remember one of the things is I very early developed the ability to dream, daydream.
Okay.
That I think is a very, very important learning for me that helps me in shining in my business. I'm as a fairly see. So my biggest distraction when I grew up was pets. Mm-hmm. Very fond of pets.
Okay.
And my mom introduced to the pet world and I think I embraced them. I like a lot of pigeons, hens, dogs, color fishes, and so on. So anything to do with that, I loved spending time with them. And as I grew up, I think I started having a lot of pigeons. Pigeons became one of the important passions.
Mm-hmm.
I had close to 500 pigeons when I was at this standard.
Wow.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
It was only a breeding, organic breeding, not buying kind of thing. My mom and dad, they never give that such kind of things.
So it's interesting you're saying that because if you look at it historically, only Maharajas used to have pigeons.
Yeah, that's correct. Oh, so I did that kind of thing, grew up with pigeons and all the pet animals. When I go to the classroom, I never used to focus on the teacher, what he talks.
Very interesting.
He will look at me that as if I am looking at him, but I will sit silently in the last bench. So that I am not directly under the supervision of the teachers, but I will completely daydream. Not even one single bit I will focus on what is being taught. I solely relied on the tuition. I will imagine the kind of this thing as to what color of pigeon I have to pair to get which colors and which kind of varieties I have to bring in, how my construction and building the cages will swell as the numbers grow up. All this is bit by bit when more and more vivid imagination. So I think that really helped trigger the passion. And that is how the 500 happened.
Amazing.
My mother said, okay, it is too much happening. It, either pets are here or you are here. So grudgingly, I sold off all my pigeons. I think that's a sad story. As I grew up and after my college and started my business, once settled in business, when I bought my own home, I was very careful in buying a place with a lot of a garden there so that I can keep my pets.
Okay. So looking at the huge garden behind you, I think you got more space than most people would for enough pets.
Well, thank you. I have a lot of birds. I think I am a breeder, professional bird breeder. So in India with all exotic birds. So we have close to about 2,500 birds now.
Wow. So Ranga, let's talk about Cavin Care. Tell me first, what does Cavin Care do and what encouraged you to start this business?
I will talk about what encouraged me to talk about, start the business. After my father was the sachet innovator.
Mm-hmm.
The man who innovated sachets, which was responsible for millions of jobs creation across categories.
Correct.
So after his this thing, it was a small industry, he did that. And I started after his demise. He died of heart attack in the year 1979. So my brothers, who were the one, the eldest was a doctor, ophthalmologist, and next was a lawyer, and just started practicing, both of them. And before, after my father's demise, the family decided to sell off the business, though it is very small, but no takers. And also there was a loan of 2 lakhs. The family didn't have money. So my brother said, okay, we'll run it to settle the bank. Therefore, the properties were not worth 2 lakhs at that time. So we got into that and started, my brother started running it and took the business to much, much greater height.
Correct.
Velvet shampoo. After my college, completing my college, I joined my family business. By then, my brothers were already doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I as I told, because of my academic background and so on, I suffered a lot of inferiority complex. I did my BSc chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I joined. And I think it was initially before I started the thing, for 3-4 months time, I said, oh, the inferiority complex completely went. This is not complicated. I can do it myself. And that was a very fundamental confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Inferiority complex completely gone.
Okay.
Then you know that there's quite a lot of arguments with the brothers, why this is done this way, why can't this way. I think we didn't saw eye to eye at that time. But I think I decided to part, move out of home. When I moved out of home, I initially don't want to start shampoos, don't want to compete with my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But after thorough this thing thinking,
mm-hmm.
I said, okay, it's nothing. I don't have anything else to do. With a very limited investment of 15,000 I earned through a salary in the family business, I said I will completely go on this thing.
New company.
On my own. So, we follow the shampoo, what I know. So, that's how I started my shampoo, Kavin Care.
Okay.
So that was called initially, this thing as Chick India. Named Chick as a brand name first I came with. It is called after my father's name, shortened form, Chick. Chinnikrishnan is my father's name.
Right.
So, that's how the brand fame. And then we started building over a period of time, Kavin Care. Now, we started off with personal care products. Today, we are into multiple range of products in terms of personal care. We are into dairy. We are into foods and snacks, pickles. We are into salons. We are into veterinary hospital as a group company. So, we are into multiple things.
So, you know, Ranga, you were telling me about Cavin Care and the multiple brands you have created in multiple business segments. My first question to you is that what goes into building a successful FMCG brand?
I think building successful FMCG brand, it starts off from understanding your customers.
Correct.
And their needs. So if you can identify, because the FMCG, I think it's filled with very seasoned players.
Correct.
And both large domestic players and multinationals, very, very large multinationals. And to fight with them, they have come with huge experience, multiple collective experience across the globe. To fight with them, I think you need to identify the kind of unmet needs of the customer. And I would say that is a very first starting point. Then once you have identified the unmet need, then you have to look at how to deliver the right packaging, the right kind of product.
Correct.
So then you have to look at that. How am I going to communicate, reach out to the outlets, outlets, and am I going to communicate to my customers?
Okay.
So these are very important things. The back end is, of course, production and all other functions are there. So the very important thing, if I am to say, is starts with customers, understanding the customer need, the very differentiated need.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go and fulfill the kind of prepare a product which meets that. Because many times I have identified, people have identified the need, but not able to meet the need.
Correct.
The product doesn't live up to that.
Because I went to Amazon and I had, you know, a look at the range of products you have. It's very, very large.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing. So my next question to you is that you know, for years, most brand owners, including Cavin Care, had a very, very large number of sales reps who would go from store to store and, you know, make sure that goods were available. How is the e-commerce platform changing the way you do business?
I think that's a big change that's happening. Earlier, e-commerce used to be a negligible kind of a player. Now, after pandemic, it is all the more important. It has really grown. It has grown at the cost of the modern trade, the self-service department stores. Customers are not comfortable in going and shopping because of this coronavirus. And that I think, has triggered the growth multifold. And at least I would say e-commerce companies are growing at anybody in the web, they will be growing minimum about 100% to 200% or sometimes 300%. That's the current thing. And we are currently growing at 200%. What our base? Our base is small, but we predict the e-commerce is going to change from the current level of about 4 to 5% of majority of the Indian companies are in multinationals. I think this is going to go to 25 to 30% in the next 5 years' time. That means that fivefold in total kind of sales, 25 to 30% will happen in e-commerce. And that, I think, if you are not prepared, there are two, three things. The e-commerce customers are very different. It's not your kind of thing. So you say that I'm going to offer my traditional product, then you are gone. Mm. You will be able to, but you have to give it at a price point because it has to make some commercial sense to the platform owners and they demand certain margins and you have to make money. So therefore, the margin play is much higher here compared to the other thing. So you have to give a higher value to the customer. A shampoo, what we sell here in 1 rupee sachet, that can't be sold in e-commerce easily. Because how many people can put a kind of budget of buying a 250 or 300?
Right.
The price points are very important as to what it is. So we have to give it to some set of people who can. So my viewpoint is e-commerce will cater to a particular cream segment of people, but not to the downtrodden, is my viewpoint. The mass market, it is not easy because their budget size is only 10 rupees, 15 rupees, 20 rupees. That will not work for an e-commerce business. So that way, a large portion of our market will continue to be dependent on the kind of the traditional trade. Only about 75 to 80% would move on to, 25 to 30% will move on to the e-commerce. And that adaptation is required.
Interesting. So let me move on. You said that you recently started the unisex salons. Tell me about this business.
I think unisex salons, when there were only individual salons, men's salon separate, women's salon separate. That is how it used to be.
Yeah.
We were the first one to experiment this kind of a thing. And that worked well. It is not very recently started. We started in 2001.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So today we have the largest number of chains. We have 400 plus salons operating across the country.
Mm-hmm.
The largest privately company-owned salon operating persons.
Wow.
We own close to about 150 salons on our own. No company can boast of 150 own salons.
Right.
But 250 is our franchises. And that way, I think that is we thought it's a forward integration. We do so much research in Cavin Care with the products, how the customer uses, what is their behavior and so on. So therefore, we thought it's important that we go and do this and understand this itself where we can apply our product and find out the customer reaction, usage, opportunity to interact with the customer. And that's how we originally ventured into this.
Yes.
COVID learning, it became a business by itself. And that's it. And that I can tell you, the kind of learning from this salon segment is unparalleled. Our personal care capability, including formulation capability and the kind of width and depth, has grown because of these customers. They have educated us so much.
Right.
Continuous interaction. So I think we started.
One of the few companies that is taking feedback from customers.
Yeah, that's one. And we started, otherwise, we were only a mass market players. Currently, 1 rupee shampoo and such kind of things. Our biggest pack size used to be only 10 rupees.
Okay.
So from there to now, having about 800 rupees, 1000 rupees kind of products are kind of the thing. All these things are possible. Only we started learning from these customers.
Right. Very interesting. So let's move on. Let's talk about, the two different awards that you run. One is the Cavin Care Ability Awards, and the other is the Chinni Krishnan Innovation Awards. Talk to me about both these.
Cavin Care Ability Award is given to people with disability.
Okay.
So this is to tell all the people that despite disabilities, there are a lot of people and they are demonstrating very high kind of achievements. So it is only the disability is only in mind. So that is a very important learning.
Okay.
So we wanted to very clearly communicate and tell people, because when we see them, a lot of inspiration one can take how they can.
Okay. And what is this award for?
This award is for, I think there are individual excellence.
Okay.
Somebody who is able to, despite very severe disabilities, able to stand on their own and survive is one. Other award, which is of eminence, is one is mastery, another one is eminence. The mastery is that I have mastered my profession, I am able to stand on my own despite my hiccups.
Okay.
So that I think is mastery. So somebody with a kind of thing, blind, high, all these things, they still practicing auditing and performing very well in some big companies and grown up in the cadre, it's not at the lower level, they are able to lead a big team. Those are all, I think, it's a very clearly mastery, call it.
Yes.
One who is able to not only able to kind of thing, he started giving back to the society in a large way.
Okay. Amazing. Okay.
Despite disability, they do that. That is how I think we came out with that. I think very happy. Because otherwise we were having bits and pieces of CSR in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We said, okay, why like that? Somebody will come from Lions Club, somebody from Rotary Club, leak this and that. No, it was going haywire. These are way back before the CSR mandatory thing came in. This is about the last 20 years we have been doing.
Wonderful. And let's you know, tell me about the Chinni Krishnan Innovation Awards. I mean, I know this is named after your father.
My father, I think I realized the small entrepreneurs, startups, the kind of struggle they go through. My father, when he started off the kind of business, the idea of sachet was a great one.
Mm.
But he didn't realize that. It was not patented. It is gone. But in a way, it's good. He didn't patent it. Everybody could able to go across all segments. So, but looking back, now we have grown. I think it is important that we stand the kind of struggle they go through. Having grown up corporate, I think it's important that we give back, handhold them without any benefit. So we said to the world and to the entrepreneurs also, we will never take stake in your company. Because that is not the intent, I will come and help you.
Correct.
So there is no financial benefit I will take from you. So that makes it very clear. Then other thing is, we will help you in all your this thing, but without putting any money. I will not give you money as a kind of this thing, but I will help you with the team members of Cavin Care. So we will mentor them. We will guide them, whether it is patent, getting money from banks, or the kind of marketing, what kind of thing they have to do. I personally give 30 to 45 minutes time per entrepreneur per month.
That's
what I bring it to the table. Plus my team can be endless time they want, the respective kind of domain they will access.
Amazing.
So this is what we do.
It's an amazing amount of support you're giving to entrepreneurs.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
You know, I'm going to ask you a few questions for you personally. My first question to you is that where do you draw your inspiration from?
I draw my inspiration from a lot of high achievers,
mm-hmm.
and people, those who give back to the society. Because when we read some good success stories, businessmen who have done well, I think, why can't we be like that? Why can't I emulate that particular character from them? I would not say one person,
mm-hmm.
but I can say that quite a lot of people, I am quite fascinated by the kind of this thing. So therefore, it is important to say that the inspiration comes from many successful, good human beings.
Okay.
Not just success alone, I would say.
Thank you.
I would like to underline that.
Thank you. My next question is that if you, Ranga, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
So if I am to change one thing in myself, I don't think I'll change anything.
Okay.
I'm happy the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy the way I am. I'm very clear, because there are a lot of areas that may be minus. I'm happy. I'm not worried. I'm very happy the way what I'm doing. If at all, if I am to say one thing, I would end up spending some time more with my family. But I'm spending good amount of good quality time. I have engaging discussion with my kids regularly, have lunch, productive meetings weekly. All these things we have, we learn, we laugh a lot, all these things we do. But I thought I can do still more, is what I was saying.
My next question to you is that, you know, you have a very, very large number of people working for you. What do you look for when you hire someone?
We look for attitude. Okay. Of late, we have been very strongly advocating internally. Don't judge a person by the knowledge what they have. Majority of the time, if I recruit a scientist, I'll ask relating to science-related questions. Oh, these fundamentals are not strong, I will reject. We are not looking at that. I'm just telling an example. If I'm recruiting a scientist, I look at whether this person has the capability to read, understand, scout for knowledge, and absorb that well. Absorption capability. I read a book, I read a kind of this thing, article or research paper. Do I understand it well?
Right.
One. But it's not only understand, am I just parity what I understood? Or I am able to add value to the understanding and say, this is how I'm going to change my work.
Interesting.
Okay. So we are looking at that kind of imagination capability, the kind of this thing, is it there in the person from what is given raw? So this is one kind of thing, adaptability. So are they thinking big? Are they are very, very conservative kind of this thing? So like certainly each function, we have a set of attitudes. So we look at that, whether if I select a scientist, the inquisitiveness, like these kind of things, I discuss those five or six, very important. Non-negotiable.
Okay.
If I look for sales, there are five or six very this thing important. Marketing, very different. But there are four or five will be constant across all Covenantians.
Okay.
So we ask the right questions, we track back, we look at that, whether it is evident in this journey so far one has done, gone through. Because attitude is not straight away, I ask Astros, what is your attitude, you answer. It doesn't happen like that. I have to very carefully listen to you, understand your journey. And then pick up whether you have gone through. Because if I start asking you, you will start intelligently answering. That will not give you the kind of thing. So that way we change the way we interview and identifying the attitudes. I think that has worked brilliantly for us.
Excellent. And so my last question for you now. What does success mean to you? You know, you're a very successful businessman. What does success mean to you?
To me, I think success means is journey, not a destination. And I was telling this to my children also.
Mm-hmm.
That we are all passengers. Mm-hmm. We have been fortunately given a mandate of employing so many people and beneficial to the society.
Correct.
And you may come, you can pass on kind of this thing and this will go on. But I think it's important that you do your best and you will be beneficial to the society. One of the things that I told myself and my children also, every time we do something, we should ensure that the endurance of the business, we will not do anything that will jeopardize it.
Okay.
My mandate is very clear to myself, that I have to make this business live longer.
Correct.
So if I lay the foundation like that, that will go a long, long way.
Mm.
So for me, success is, I will not be alive to see that, but if the culture and the ethos and the foundation is very solidly laid and the company is passed on, the leadership identification to many parameters is done that way, I think I would have been successful. I would not be living to see my success, but I think the world has to see.
Wonderful. Ranga, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you and Cabin Care lots of success.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's a pleasure interacting with you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world.
do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.